Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are in time for another episode of Spiritual Perspectives. If you like, you can also call it Biblical Perspectives, where we take a look at a subject from a biblical perspective. Now, sometimes we come straight out of the scripture, take our topic from the scripture, and we're discussing from the scripture whatever that topic is about. At other times, we might take a topic that is general in nature, but discuss it from a biblical worldview. Most of the time, we do take the topic from the scripture and the verses from the scripture as well, from the Bible, and that's what we'll be doing today. And let me tell you what the topic is about in just a moment. Because first, I want to make a very, very important disclaimer. Yes, I'm excited about making this disclaimer. Yes, it is important. One of the things that I've shared with you all before is that, and I'm very happy to announce this, it gives me great pride to announce that I am not an expert in anything. When I say anything, ladies and gentlemen, I mean anything. I've never been an expert. Certainly try to achieve excellence at what I do, but I don't think I've ever tried to become an expert in anything. Excellence, yes. Expertise, not really. I just don't consider myself an expert at anything, and especially when it comes to the very topic that I'm going to lead us through starting today. May end it today, but I definitely want us to cover it. I appreciate the recommendation that we look into this too. I was going to call it Hearing from God, but then I thought about some of the connotations of the word hearing and how limiting that can be in light of this discussion. You know, I thought about the fact that, of course, it has to do with God conveying information to us. Hearing from God has to do with God conveying information to us. Now, here's the thing. As I thought about it, I said, well, you know, would I be doing it justice by calling this topic, this discussion, hearing from God, in light of the fact that there are many ways that God conveys information to us? And so I quickly decided that it would probably be a better idea for me to give it a general title, since God's ways of conveying information to us is varied, rather than specify the type of communication by calling it hearing from God. So instead of calling it hearing from God, I'm entitling this discussion Communicating with God. And of course, you can see the two changes I made there. Communicating is much more general in nature, much broader in nature than just hearing, but also with is more encompassing than from. To hear from God suggests there will be one way that God will be getting information to us, and it's only about God getting information to us. Whereas when I talk about communicating with God, we're talking about a two-way flow of information. We're talking about God getting information to us and us conveying information to God. He knows everything. We know that. But God really believes in communication. He is the creator of relationships. And I do mean that for real. He is the creator of relationships. Even when it comes to human relationships, God is the creator of human relationship. Remember, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we learn that God created the first human being, who was a man, who we call Adam, God decided fairly quickly that it was not good for that man to be alone. And when he said not good for the man to be alone, he didn't mean for the man to have absolutely no one and no thing to communicate with. Remember, above all, Adam had God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and even the holy angels to communicate with, to relate to. So when God says it's not good for the man to be alone, he wasn't suggesting that Adam had no one and no thing to communicate with. What he was clearly indicating, based on how he followed that up, was that it was not good for Adam to be without human companion. And one of the most significant relationships that God could ever have created, when he followed through on his determination to give Adam a human companion, he created a woman, whom we call Eve. Because Adam and Eve could relate to each other in ways that no one else would be able to relate to them. Adam and Eve would come together as husband and wife. They would come together as friends, not just human companions, but also as friends who were also husband and wife. They had a beautiful relationship to begin with. It got messed up later, but to start with, when they each had only a holy nature in them, a righteous nature in them, and were able to flow in harmony with each other with little effort, because it was just in them to flow in harmony with each other. They could talk with each other. They could laugh with each other. They could have sexual intercourse with each other, taking their relationship to its highest level of contact communication. They weren't to do that with anyone else in the world. Even when they began to have children, and some people ask the question, well, what happened here? Did their children commit incest? Because how else would other children have been born unless Adam's and Eve's children had sex with each other? In the earliest days, no question, brothers and sisters did marry each other. They married each other and had children, because there was no other way at that time. God wasn't going to have them have sex with animals in order to get pregnant, and he did not want them having sex with fallen angels to have children. He wanted to keep the human race, period. And as time went on, and the generations extended more and more and more and more, then we eventually got to the point where God said, okay, now we're no longer doing it that way. That is no longer permitted, because it is no longer necessary. And he made it clear that people were not supposed to be engaging in sexual intercourse with cousins, aunts, step-parents, uncles, grandparents, you name it. All of that's out now. It's over with. But God made us so that we could communicate with each other. And he made us so that we could communicate with him. Adam was communicating with God before he ever had a wife. And he really was communicating with God. You know, we're told early on that they did talk with each other. So think, for example, about the discussion that took place between Adam and God, Eve and God. We could say the serpent too, but I just want to rule him out for now, because I'm really not focusing on him. My focus is the relationship between God and humans. So So here we go. Adam had been given instructions about what not to eat, what he could eat, etc. Eve disobeyed God, knowing what God had said about the rules. You cannot eat from this tree. All the rest you can eat from, but not from this one. She disobeyed God. Then she persuaded her husband to also disobey God. They both became ashamed of their nakedness, and they covered themselves up. And here's the thing. When God came down in the cool of the evening to walk and to talk with Adam, he asked Adam where he was, and Adam said, made it clear that he had hidden. He was hiding because he was naked. And he did not want God to see him naked. God asked him, "Who told you that you're naked?" The point being, Adam, Eve, God were all involved in a verbal exchange. They were talking with each other. Adam was hearing from God, but Adam was also talking to God. He was literally hearing from God and talking to God. Eve was literally hearing from God and talking to God. Sin gets in the way of our relationship with our Creator. And as a result, over time, sin makes it more and more difficult as generations go by for mankind to hear from God. And part of the problem is that mankind spends so much time and energy training himself, training herself to ignore God, to tune God out, that it becomes easier and easier and easier to not even be able, to no longer have the ability to truly hear from God. Mankind in general just kind of loses that ability. It's not that God is no longer interested in talking with us. The problem is that we have trained ourselves to dismiss God's ways, dismiss God's rules, dismiss God's commands, dismiss God from our lives. That's how we find in the sixth chapter of Genesis that mankind is so wicked, has become so wicked, that God regrets that he ever created mankind. But then he thought about Noah. Noah found favor in his sight. And when God determined that he would destroy the earth, everything and everyone in it, he made an exception for Noah and his family. And so he also made an exception for two, male and female, of each type of creature that would be saved from destruction. When God sent the waters that would flood the earth, overwhelm the earth, and kill everything and everyone who was not with Noah. Interestingly enough, we see that even though God was so perturbed with mankind, he was still willing to be intimately involved in the lives and the affairs of mankind. So rather than just do away with all human beings, just because the vast majority of humans were sinful and rebellious towards God, he kept Noah and his family and let them repopulate, begin the repopulation of the earth after he had washed away all the other humans. And he continued to talk with mankind. He let Earth Noah know that what his responsibilities would be. And it's so interesting that the conversation, the communication continued. God did indeed create this earth. He did indeed create every living thing. He created all of mankind. Of course, as we know, he made Adam, the first man, our first forefather, from the earth. He made our first foremother, Eve, from Adam's body. He breathed into each of them, brought them to life. And he created in them the ability to reproduce, to come together sexually and reproduce children, to produce people in their image. With those people having physical bodies similar to theirs, with the females especially being similar to Eve and the males being especially similar to Adam, particularly when it comes to the genitalia. Not only when it comes to the genitalia, but particularly genitalia and chest. He made their bodies so that they would harmoniously come together to reproduce more people. And God remained involved in the affairs of mankind ever since. He's the one who created the process whereby human beings reproduce. And so those of us who are alive today are owned by God just as much as the very first two human beings who were made with his hands were owned by God. He owns us all. Whether we accept him or not, whether we reject him or not, he owns us all. And he's interested in us all. He wants to have a beautiful relationship with us all. And of course, one of the main ways to establish and then build relationships is through communication, and especially by having the persons involved communicate with each other. Now, you'll notice that I'll be using the word persons quite a bit, because when I use that word persons, I'm not just referring to the human beings. God is also a person. He was person before there were any human beings. And so we'll be talking about these communications between persons, and the persons will have to do with God and mankind, mankind with each other, etc. And we're going to start to take a look at some of the ways that we communicate with God when I come back. So stay with me. By the way, I definitely want you to be thinking about some of the ways of communication between God and mankind that you're aware of. Write those down and then just compare notes. See what you come up with, how, you know, some of the ways that I will discuss match up with the ways that you may have written down. Back in a few.